says, and I grow nervous. I nod, and he continues.
I am not sure if Hardin told you that Karen and I are to be married next weekend.
I knew the wedding was coming up. Oh, and congratulations, I tell him. I didn't know it was that close. My thoughts travel to when Hardin crashed their home and drank almost an entire bottle of scotch. He smiles kindly.
Thank you very much. What I was wondering was if there is any way that you could possibly convince Hardin to come.
His eyes leave mine and he stares at the wall.
I know this is overstepping my boundaries here, but I would hate for him not to be there. And honestly, I believe you are the only one who could convince him to show up. I've asked him a few times and he said no immediately.
He lets out a frustrated breath. I have no idea what to say to him. I would love to get Hardin to his father's wedding, but I doubt he will listen to me. Why does everyone seem to think he will? I remember when Ken told me he believes Hardin is in love with me, a thought that's as absurd as it is untrue. I will certainly talk to him. I would love if he went, I tell him in all honesty.
Really? Thank you so much, Tessa. I hope you don't feel pressured to say yes, though I look forward, hopefully, to seeing you both there.
A wedding with Hardin? The idea sounds so lovely, but Hardin will be hard to convince.
Karen is very fond of you, and she really enjoyed having you over this weekend. You're welcome any time.
I really enjoyed being there. Maybe I can get in touch with her about those baking lessons she offered, I laugh, and he chuckles too. He looks so much like Hardin when he smiles that it makes my heart warm. Hardin's father is so desperate to have a relationship with his angry, broken son that it makes my heart ache for him. If I can do anything to help Ken, I certainly will.
She would love that. Come by any time,
he booms, and I stand up. Thank you again for helping me with the internship. It means so much to me.
I've looked over your application and transcript, and they are very impressive. Hardin could learn a lot from you,
he says with hope in his green eyes. I feel my cheeks heat up as I smile and say goodbye. By the time I get back across campus to the literature building, I have only 5 minutes until class begins. Hardin occupies his old seat, and I can't help the smile on my face.
You held up your end of the deal, so did I,
he says and smiles back. I greet Landon and take my seat between them.
Why were you so late?
Hardin whispers as the professor begins class. I'll tell you after class. I know if I bring this up now, he will cause a scene in the middle of class.
Tell me.
I said I'll tell you after class. It's no big deal, I promise him. He sighs, but lets it go. When class ends, Hardin and Landon both stand up, and I am not sure which one to talk to. I usually talk to Landon after class, and we walk out together. But now that Hardin is back, I'm unsure.
Are you still coming to the bonfire with Dakota and me on Friday? I was thinking you should come over for dinner first. I know my mom would love it,
Landon says before Hardin can speak. Yeah, of course I'm still coming. Dinner sounds great. Just let me know the details and I'll be there. I can't wait to meet Dakota. She makes Landon happy, and for that, I already love her.
I'll text you,
he says and walks away.
I'll text you,
Hardin mocks, and I roll my eyes. Don't make fun of him, I warn.
Oh yeah, I forgot how angry you get. I recall you almost jumping over that booth at Molly when she did.
He laughs, and I give his shoulder a shove. I mean it, Hardin. Leave him alone, I say, then add, please, to soften the mood.
He's living with my dad. I have earned the right to make fun of him.
He smiles at me, and I laugh. As we walk out of the building, I decide it's now or never. Speaking of your dad, I look over and find Hardin has already tensed up. His eyes are leery as they wait for what I'll say next. That's where I was today, in his office. He set up an interview advanced for me tomorrow. Isn't that great?
You what?
He scoffs. Here we go. He set up an interview for me. It's a great opportunity, Hardin. I plead for his understanding.
Fine,
he sighs. There's more.
Of course there is.
He invited me to the wedding next weekend. Well, us. He invited us to the wedding. I barely managed to get it out for the glare he's giving me.
No, not going. End of discussion.
He turns to walk away from me. Wait, just hear me out, please? I reach for his wrist, but he jerks away.
No. You really need to stay out of this, Tessa. I'm not kidding. Mind your own damn business for once.
He snaps. Harden, I say once more, but he ignores me. He walks off into the parking lot. My feet have become cement, keeping me from following after him. I watch as his white car peels out of the parking lot. He is overreacting, and I am not going to feed into it. He needs some time to cool off before we speak again. I knew he wouldn't want to go, but I had hoped he would at least discuss it. Who am I kidding? We only started this more thing 2 days ago. I don't know why I keep expecting things to be so much different. They are in some ways. Harden is nicer to me, mostly, and he kissed me in public, which was really surprising. However, Harden is still essentially Harden, and he is stubborn and has an attitude problem. Sighing, I hook my bag over my shoulder and walk back to my room. Steph is sitting cross-legged on the floor, staring up at her television when I enter the room.
Where were you last night? It's not like you to stay out on a school night, young lady.
She teases, and I roll my eyes playfully. I was out, I tell her. I don't know if I should tell her that I stayed with Harden.
With Harden, she adds for me, and I look away. I know you were. He asked me for your number, then he left the bowling alley and never came back.
Her smile is massive and full of glee for me. Don't tell anyone. I don't exactly know what is going on myself, I say. Steph promises to stay mute, and we spend the rest of the afternoon talking about her and Tristan before he arrives to pick her up to take her to dinner. He kisses her as soon as she opens the door, holds her hand while she gathers her things, and smiles at her the entire time. Why can't Harden be that way with me? I haven't heard anything from Harden in a few hours, but I don't want to be the one to text him first. Petty, I know, but I don't care. When Steph and Tristan leave, I finish up my studying and have gathered my things to go take a shower when my phone buzzes. My heart leaps as soon as I see Harden's name.
Stay with me tonight,
the text reads. He hasn't spoken to me in hours, but he wants me to stay with him again? Why, so you can be a jerk to me? I respond. I want to see him, but I'm still annoyed.
I'm on my way. Be ready.
I roll my eyes at his bossy tone, but can't help but feel excited to see him. I rush down and take a shower so I don't have to take one at his frat house again. By the time I finish, I barely have enough time to gather my clothes for tomorrow. I dread taking the bus all the way to Vance when it's only a 30-minute drive, so I renew my resolve to go car shopping again. I'm folding my clothes neatly into my bag when Harden opens the door, without knocking, of course.
Ready?
He asks and grabs my purse off the dresser. I nod and put my bag over my shoulder and follow him out. We walk to his car in silence, and I find myself repeating a small prayer that the rest of the night doesn't go this way. Chapter 56. I stare out the passenger window, not wanting to speak first. After a couple of blocks, Harden turns the radio on and then turns it up too loud. I roll my eyes but try to ignore it, until I can't. I hate his taste in music, and it gives me an instant headache. Without asking, I turn the knob down, and Harden looks over at me. What? I snap.
Whoa, someone is in a pissy mood,
he says. No, I just didn't want to listen to that, and if anyone is in a bad mood, it is you. You were being rude earlier, then you text me and ask me to stay. I don't get it.
I was pissed because you brought up the wedding. Now that it's settled that we aren't going, there's no need for me to be pissed.
His tone is calm and sure. It is not settled. We didn't even talk about it.
Yes, we did. I told you I'm not going, so drop it, Teresa.
Well, you may not be going, but I am. And I'm going over to your dad's house to learn to bake with Karen this week, I tell him. He clenches his jaw and glares at me.
You're not going to the wedding. And what, are you and Karen like best friends now? You barely even know her.
So what if I barely know her? I barely know you, I tell him. His face falls and I feel bad, but it's true.
Why are you being so difficult?
He says through gritted teeth. Because you aren't going to tell me what to do, Harden. It's not happening. If I want to go to the wedding, I will. And I really would like you to come with me. It could be fun. You may even have a nice time. It would mean a lot to your father and Karen, not that you care about that. He doesn't say anything. He lets out a large breath, and I stare back out the window. The rest of the ride is spent in silence, both of us too angry to speak. When we pull up to the fraternity house, Harden grabs my bag out of the back seat and puts it over his shoulder. Why are you part of a frat anyway? I ask him. I've been wanting to know the answer since I discovered his room the first time. He takes a deep breath as we walk up the steps.
Because by the time I agreed to come here, the dorms were full, and I sure as hell wasn't going to live with my father, so this was one of the few options I had.
But why stay in it?
Because I don't want to live with my father, Tessa. Besides, look at this house. It's nice, and I did get the biggest room.
He smirks a little, and I'm glad to see his anger is dying down. I mean, why don't you live off campus? I ask him, and he shrugs. Maybe he doesn't want to have to get a job. I follow him quietly up to his room and wait as he unlocks the door. What is it with him and his obsession over no one going into his room? Why won't you let anyone into your room? I ask, and he rolls his eyes. He puts my bag down on the floor.
Why do you always ask so many questions?
He groans and sits on the chair. I don't know. Why won't you answer them? I ask, but of course he ignores me. Can I hang up my outfit for tomorrow? I don't want it to get too wrinkled from being in my bag. He seems to think about it for a second before he nods and stands to retrieve a hanger from his closet. I grab the skirt and blouse out and put them on the hanger, ignoring his sour expression at my clothing. I have to get up earlier than usual tomorrow so I can be at the bus station by 8:45. The stop three streets over is on the route that gets me two blocks away from Vance, I inform him.
What? You're going there tomorrow? Why didn't you tell me?
I did. You were too busy sulking to pay attention, I fire back.
I will drive you there. You don't need to take, what's it, like an hour-long bus ride.
I want to decline his offer just to annoy him, but I decide against it. Harden's car is a much better way to get there than a crowded bus. I am going to get a car soon. I can't last any longer without one. If I get the internship, I would have to take the bus there 3 days a week.
I would drive you,
he says, his voice almost a whisper. I'll just get my own car, I tell him. The last thing I need is for you to be mad at me and not pick me up.
I would never do that.
His tone is serious. Yeah, you would. Then I would be stuck trying to find a bus route. No thanks, I half joke. I honestly feel like I could depend on him, but I don't want to take any chances. He's just too moody. Harden turns on the television and stands up to change his clothes, so I home in on what he's doing. No matter how annoyed with him I am, I would never turn down a chance to watch him undress. His shirt is pulled over his head first. Then I watch his muscles contract under his skin as he unbuttons and pulls down his tight black jeans. Just as I think he is going to wear only boxers, he pulls a pair of thin cotton pants out of his dresser and puts them on. He stays shirtless, lucky for me.
Here,
he mumbles and hands me the shirt he just removed. I can't help the smile on my face as I take it in my hands. This must be our thing now. He must like me wearing his shirt to bed as much as I love the smell of him on the fabric. Harden focuses on the television as I follow his lead and change into his shirt and a pair of yoga pants. The pants are more like spandex leggings, but they are comfortable. After I fold up my bra and clothes, Harden finally looks at me again. He clears his throat and his eyes rake my body.
Those, are really sexy.
I flush. Thanks.
Much better than your fuzzy cloud pants,
he teases, and I laugh while taking a seat on the floor. I feel oddly comfortable in his room. Maybe it's the books, or Harden. I'm not sure.
Did you mean it in the car when you said you barely know me?
He asks quietly. His question is very unexpected. Sort of. You aren't the easiest person to get to know.
I feel like I know you,
he says, his eyes locked onto mine. Yeah, because I let you. I tell you things about myself.
I tell you things, too. It may not seem that way, but you know me better than anyone else does.
He looks down at the floor, then back into my eyes. He looks sad and vulnerable. Such a difference from his usual angry intensity, but equally as captivating. I am not sure what to say to his confession. I feel like I do know Hardin on a very personal level, like somehow we connect much deeper than just knowing minuscule bits of information about each other. But it doesn't feel like nearly enough. I need to know more. You know me better than anyone, too, I tell him. He knows me, the real Tessa, not the Tessa that I have to pretend to be around my mother or even Noah. I have told Hardin things about my father leaving, my mother's criticism, and my fears that I never told anyone else. Hardin seems very pleased with this information. A smile covers his beautiful face as he stands from the chair and moves over to me. He takes my hands into his and pulls me up.
What do you want to know, Tessa?
He asks, and my heart warms. Hardin is finally willing to tell me more about himself. I am this much closer to figuring out this complicated and angry yet sometimes lovely man. Hardin and I both lie back on the bed, eyes on the ceiling as I ask him at least 100 questions. He talks about the place he grew up, Hampstead, and how nice it was living there. He talks about the scar on his knee from the first time he learned to ride a bike with no training wheels, and how his mother passed out from the blood. His father was at the bar that day, all day long, so his mother was the one who taught him. He tells me about grade school and how he spent most of his time reading. He was never very social, and as he got older, his dad drank more and more, and his parents fought more and more. He tells me about how he got kicked out of secondary school for fighting, but his mother begged them to let him back. He began getting tattoos at 16. His friend would do them in his basement. His first tattoo was a star. And once he got one, he wanted more and more. He tells me he doesn't have a specific reason why he hasn't tattooed his back, he just hasn't gotten around to it yet. He hates birds, despite the two inked above his collarbones, and loves classic cars. The best day of his life was when he learned to drive, and the worst was when his parents divorced. His father stopped drinking when he was 14 and has been trying to make up for all the terrible years, but Hardin isn't having it. My head is swimming with all of this new information, and I feel like I finally understand him. There are still many more things I would love to know about him, but he falls asleep while telling me about the playhouse made from cardboard boxes that he and his mother and her friend made when he was 8. As I watch him sleep, he appears so much younger now that I know about his childhood, which seems like it was mostly happy until his father's alcoholism poisoned it, creating the angry Hardin of today. I lean over and give the proud rebel a kiss on his cheek before crawling into bed to sleep, too. I don't want to wake him, so I pull the comforter sideways to cover myself up. That night, my dreams are clouded by a curly-haired little boy falling off a bicycle.
Stop!
I jolt awake at the pained sound of Hardin's voice. I look around for him, then peer over the bed to see his body jerking on the floor. I hurry out of the bed to get down to him and gently shake his shoulders to try to wake him. I remember how difficult it was the last time, so I lean down on him and wrap my small arms around his shoulders as he tries to thrash away from me. A whimper escapes his perfect lips, and then his eyes shoot open.
Tess,
he gasps and wraps his arms around me. He is panting, sweating. I should have asked him about the nightmares, but I didn't want to be greedy. He told me much, much more than I had expected him to. I'm here. I'm here, I say to comfort him. I pull his arm, gesturing for him to get up and come to bed. When his eyes meet mine, the confusion and fear slowly fade out of them.
I thought you left,
he whispers. We lie down and he pulls me as close to him as possible. I run my fingers through his damp and unruly hair and his eyes flutter closed. I don't say anything. I just continue to rub his scalp to calm him.
Don't ever leave me, Tess,
he whispers, and falls back into sleep. My heart nearly explodes at his plea, and I know that as long as he wants me here, I'm here. Chapter 57 The next morning, I wake up before Hardin and manage to roll him off me and untangle our legs without waking him. The memory of him saying my name in relief and all the secrets about himself he disclosed makes my stomach flutter. He was so unguarded and open last night, it made me care for him even more. The depth of my feelings for him scares me, and I feel like I can tell they're there, but I'm not really ready to face them yet. I get my curling iron and the small bag of Steph's makeup I borrowed, with her permission, of course, and walk down to the bathroom. The hallway is empty and no one knocks on the door while I get ready. I'm not as lucky as I make my way back to Hardin's room. Three guys come down the hall in my direction, one of them Logan.
"Hey, Tessa,"
he chirps and flashes me his perfect smile. "Hey, how are you?" I feel awkward with the three of them staring at me.
"Good, just on our way out. Are you, like, moving in here or something?"
he says and laughs. "No, definitely not. Just, visiting." I have no clue what to say. The tall guy bends down and whispers something into Logan's ear. I can't make out what he says, but I look away. "Well, I will see you guys later," I say.
"Yeah, see you tonight at the party,"
Logan says and walks away. What party? Why wouldn't Hardin mention a party to me? Maybe he doesn't plan on being there? Or maybe he doesn't want you to come, my subconscious adds. Who throws a party on a Tuesday anyway? When I reach Hardin's door, it opens before I reach the handle.
"Where were you?"
he says and opens it wide enough for me to walk in. "Doing my hair. I wanted to let you sleep," I tell him.
"I told you not to be wandering the halls, Tessa,"
he scolds. "And I told you not to boss me around, Hardin," I add sarcastically, and his features soften.
"Touché."
He laughs and steps closer to me. He places one of his hands on the small of my back and puts the other beneath my shirt and on my stomach. His fingers are rough with calluses but glide gently on my skin, moving higher and higher on my stomach.
"However, you really should wear a bra when you're roaming the halls of a fraternity house, Teresa."
He brings his mouth to my ear at the exact moment that his fingers find my breasts. He rubs over the sensitive area with his thumbs, making them harden under his touch. He sucks in a sharp breath, and I am frozen, but my heart is racing.
"You never know what kind of perverts are lurking in the halls,"
he says softly into my ear. His thumbs swirl around my nipples before he pinches them lightly. My head falls to his chest, and I am unable to control my moans as his fingers continue their gentle assault.
"I bet I could make you come just by doing this,"
he says, and applies more pressure. I had no idea that this could feel this good. I nod, and Hardin chuckles, his mouth against my ear.
"Do you want me to do that? Make you come?"
he asks, and I nod again. Does he even have to ask? My heavy breathing and shaking knees should give it away.
"Good girl. Now let's move to the..."
he begins when the alarm on my cell phone goes off. I snap to attention. "Oh, God. We have to leave in 10 minutes, Hardin, and you're not even dressed. I'm not even dressed." I pull away, but he shakes his head and pulls me back to him, this time pulling my pants and panties down my legs. He reaches over and shuts my phone off.
"I only need 2 minutes. That leaves 8 to get dressed."
He lifts me off the floor, taking me over to the bed. He sits me down on it, kneels in front of me, and pulls me by my ankles to the edge.
"Spread your legs, baby,"
he coos, and I oblige. I know this wasn't on my schedule for this morning, but I can't think of a better way to start my day. His long finger traces up my thighs and he holds me down with one hand. His head dips down and he licks up and down my core once before puckering his lips and sucking. It's that spot again, oh Lord. My hips buck off the bed and he pushes me back down and continues to hold me down. Using his other hand, he inserts a finger into me, pumping faster than ever before. I can't decide if his hands or his sucking feels better, but the combination is mind-blowing. Within seconds, I feel that burn in the pit of my stomach, and he pumps his finger faster.
"I'm going to try too, okay?"
he says, and I moan in approval. The feeling is strange and a little uncomfortable, like the first time he slipped his one finger inside me. But when he places his lips back on me and sucks again, I forget about the subtle pain. I whimper as Hardin removes his mouth once more.
Shit, you're so tight, baby.
His words alone are going to send me over the edge.
You okay?
He asks. I grab him by his curls and push his face down. He chuckles and then attaches his lips again. I moan his name and pull his hair as I experience my strongest orgasm ever. Not that I have had many, but this one was definitely the quickest and strongest. Hardin places a small kiss on my hip bone before standing and walking to the closet. I lift my head and try to catch my breath. He walks back over and wipes me off with a t-shirt, which might be more embarrassing if I were fully coherent.
I'll be right back. I'm going to brush my teeth.
He smiles and exits the room. I stand up and get myself dressed and check the time. We have 3 minutes until we have to leave. When Hardin returns, he quickly gets dressed and we're gone. Do you know how to get there? I ask as he pulls out of the driveway.
Yeah, my father's best mate from university is Christian Vance, he tells me. I've been there a couple of times.
Oh, wow. I knew Ken had a connection there, but I didn't know the CEO was his best friend.
Don't worry, he's a nice guy. A bit of a square, but nice. You'll fit right in.
His smile is contagious.
You look lovely, by the way.
Thank you. You seem to be in a good mood this morning, I say teasingly.
Yeah, having my head between your thighs this early in the morning seems like an omen for a good day.
He laughs and takes my hand in his. Hardin, I scold him, but he only laughs once more. The drive goes quickly, and in no time we're pulling around the back of a 6-story building with mirrored glass sides and a large V placed on the front. I'm nervous, I admit, as I check my makeup in the mirror.
Don't be. You'll do fine. You are so smart, and he'll see that,
Hardin assures me. God, I love when he is nice like this. Thank you, I say, and lean across to kiss him. It is a sweet and simple kiss.
I'll be in the car waiting for you,
he says, and kisses me again. The inside of the building is just as elegant as the outside. When I reach the front desk, I am given a day pass and instructed to go to the 6th floor. I reach the desk on the 6th floor and give the young man my name. He flashes his perfect white smile at me before walking me to a large office and saying,
Mr. Vance, Teresa Young is here,
to a middle-aged man with light patches of facial hair I can see through the doorway. Mr. Vance waves me in and walks toward me to shake my hand. His green eyes can be seen from across the room, and his smile is comforting and relaxes me as he tells me to have a seat.
It's very nice to meet you, Teresa. Thank you for coming,
he says. Tessa, call me Tessa. Thank you for having me, I say with a smile.
So, Tessa, you are a freshman English major,
he asks. Yes, sir, I say, nodding.
Ken Scott gave you a great recommendation. Says I would be missing out if I didn't give you an internship.
Ken is a very kind man, I say, and he nods, rubbing his beard with his fingers. He asks me to tell him what I've been reading of late and who are my favorite and least favorite authors and to explain why I feel that way. He nods and hmms through my explanation, and when I finish, he smiles.
Well, Tessa, when can you begin? Ken says with your courses, it's easy enough to condense your schedule so you can be here 2 days a week and take classes on campus the other 3.
He says, and my mouth falls open. Really? Is all I can say. This is beyond my expectations. I had assumed I would have to take night classes and come here during the day if I got the offer.
Yes, and you will also receive credit hours toward your degree for your time spent here.
Thank you so much. This is such an amazing opportunity. Thank you. Thank you again. I can't believe how lucky I am.
We will discuss your pay Monday when you start.
Pay? I had assumed it would be an unpaid internship.
Yes, of course you will be paid for your time.
He smiles. I just nod, afraid that if I open my mouth, I will thank him for the 1,000th time. I practically run to the car, and Hardin climbs out as I near it.
Well?
He asks, and I squeal. I got it. It's paid, and I will be here 2 days a week and in school 3 days, and I get college credit. And he was so nice. And your dad is wonderful for doing this for me. And you are too, of course. I'm just so excited, and I guess that's it. I laugh, and he wraps his arms around me, squeezing me tight and lifting me into the air.
I'm so happy for you,
he says, and I bury my fingers in his hair. Thank you, I say, and he puts me down. Really, thank you for driving me and waiting in the car. He assures me that it's no problem, and as we both climb into the car, he asks,
What do you want to do for the rest of the afternoon?
Go back to school, of course. We can still make it to literature.
Really? I bet we could find something much more fun to do.
No, I've already missed too many classes this week. I don't want to miss any more. I'm going to literature, and so should you, I smile. He rolls his eyes but nods in agreement. We make it just in time for class, and I gush to Landon about the internship. He congratulates me and gives me a tight hug. Hardin rudely makes gagging noises behind us, and I kick back at his leg. After class, Hardin walks out with Landon and me as we discuss the details of the bonfire this Friday. I agree to meet Landon at his house at 5 for dinner, and then we'll go to the bonfire at 7. Hardin stays quiet during our discussion, and I wonder if he will accompany me. He said at one point he would go, but I'm pretty sure that was only to compete with Zed. Landon says his goodbyes as we reach the parking lot and walks off, whistling. Scott! Someone calls. We both turn around to see Nate and Molly walking toward us. Great. Molly. She is wearing a tank top and a red leather skirt. It's only Tuesday, and she's already almost used up her skank quota for the week. She should save that stuff for the weekends.
Hey,
Hardin says, and takes a step away from me. Hey, Tessa, Molly says in return. I return her greeting and stand awkwardly as Hardin and Nate exchange hellos.
You're ready, right?
Nate asks him, and it becomes clear that Hardin told them to meet him here. I don't know why I had assumed we would hang out again. It's not like we can spend every day together, but he could have said something.
Yeah, I'm ready,
Hardin tells them and looks at me.
See you around, Tessa,
he casually says, and walks off with them. Molly looks back at me with a smirk on her makeup-covered face as she climbs into the passenger seat of Hardin's car, and Nate gets in back. And I stand on the pavement and wonder what the hell just happened. Chapter 58. During my walk back to my room, I realize how foolish I have been, expecting Hardin to be different than before. I should have known better. I should have known that this was too good to be true. Hardin kissing me in front of Landon, Hardin being nice and wanting more, Hardin telling me about his childhood. I should have known that as soon as his friends came along, he would go right back to the Hardin that up until 2 weeks ago I despised.
Hey girl, you coming tonight?
Steph asks as I walk into our room. Tristan is sitting on her bed, staring at her in the adoring way I wish Hardin would stare at me. No, I'm going to study, I say. It's nice to know that everyone was invited, yet Hardin didn't see fit to even mention the party to me, probably so he could hang out with Molly without any distractions. Oh, come on, it will be fun. Hardin will be there. She smiles, and I force one back to her. Really, it's okay. I need to call my mother and catch up with her and plan my assignments for next week.
Lame, Steph teases and grabs her purse. Suit yourself. I'll be out all night, so if you need anything, let me know, she says and hugs me goodbye.
I call my mother and tell her about my internship, and of course she is beyond pleased by my amazing opportunity. I leave Hardin out of the explanation, but I do mention Ken, though I say he is Landon's soon-to-be stepfather, which is true. She asks about Noah and me, but I dodge her questions. I'm surprised and grateful to find that Noah hasn't told my mother everything. He doesn't owe me anything, but I'm thankful for his omission. After listening to her talk for far too long about her new coworker, who she believes is having an affair with her boss, I finally tell her I really need to study and I get off the phone. Immediately, my mind goes back to Hardin, as always. My life was much more simple before I met Hardin, and now after, It is complicated and stressful, and I am either extremely happy or there is this burning in my chest when I think of him with Molly. I will go insane if I just sit here, and it's only 6 o'clock by the time I give up trying to study. Maybe I should go for a walk? I really need some more friends. I grab my phone and call Landon.
Hey, Tessa.
His voice is friendly and soothes some of my anxiety. Hey, Landon, are you busy? I ask him.
No, just watching the game. Why? Is something wrong?
No, I was just wondering if maybe I could come over and hang out. Or maybe if your mom doesn't mind, I could take her up on those baking lessons. I let out a weak laugh.
Yeah, of course. She would love that. I'll let her know you're coming.
Okay, the next bus isn't for 30 minutes, but I will be there as soon as I can, I tell him.
Bus? Oh yeah, I forgot you haven't found a car. I will come get you.
No, really, it's okay. I don't mind. I don't want you to go out of your way.
Tessa, it's less than 10 miles. I'll leave now, he says, and I finally agree.
I grab my purse and check my phone one last time. Of course, Harden hasn't texted or called me. I hate the way I feel dependent on him, especially when I obviously can't depend on him. Determined to be independent, I turn my phone off. If I leave it on, I will go crazy checking it every few minutes. Figuring that I really should just leave it here, I put it in the top drawer of my dresser before I go out to wait for Landon to pick me up. Minutes later, he pulls up and honks lightly. I jump off the curb in surprise, and we both laugh as I climb into the car.
My mother is going insane in the kitchen right now, so be prepared for a very detailed baking lesson, he says.
Really? I love the details.
I know you do. We're alike that way, he says, and turns on the radio.
I hear the familiar sound of one of my favorite songs. Can I turn this up? I ask, and he nods.
You like The Fray?
He asks in a surprised tone. Yes, they're my favorite band. I love them. Do you like them?
Yes, who doesn't?
He laughs. I almost tell him Harden doesn't, but then decide against it. When we arrive at the house, Ken greets us at the door with a friendly smile. I hope he wasn't expecting Harden to be with me, but seeing no disappointment on his face, I smile back.
Karen is in the kitchen. Enter at your own risk, he says mischievously.
He wasn't joking. Karen has the entire large island covered in pans, mixing bowls, and a lot of other things I don't recognize.
Tessa, I'm just getting everything ready.
She's beaming as she makes a hand gesture to highlight all the strange equipment. Is there anything I can help you with?
No, not at the moment. I am almost finished. There, I'm done.
I hope it wasn't too late notice for me to come by, I say.
Oh no, dear, you are always welcome here, she assures me, and I can tell she means it.
She hands me an apron to wear, and I tie my hair up into a bun. Landon sits on the bench and talks to us for a few minutes while Karen shows me all the ingredients used to make cupcakes from scratch. I pour them into the mixer and turn it on low speed.
I already feel like a professional baker, I laugh, and Landon leans across, wiping his hand across my cheek. Sorry, you have some flour on your face.
His cheeks flush and I smile. I start pouring my cupcake batter into the baking pan. When we put them in the oven and start talking about school and home, Landon leaves the girl talk and goes to the other room to finish watching a football game he's recorded. We get lost in conversation while our creations bake and cool, and when she says it's time to ice the cupcakes, I look at them and am really pleased with the way mine turned out. Karen shows me how to use the piping bag to make an L on the top of one of them, and I set it aside for Landon. Karen expertly pipes flowers and green blades of grass onto her cupcakes, while I do the best I can with mine.
I think it's cookies next time, she smiles and places the cupcakes in a serving case.
Sounds good to me, I tell her, and take a bite of one of my cupcakes. As Karen adjusts the case of sweets, she asks,
And where's Harden tonight?
I chew my cake slowly, trying to discern a motive behind her asking. He's at his house, I answer simply. She frowns slightly, but doesn't push it. Landon wanders back into the kitchen, and Karen leaves the room to take a few cupcakes to Ken.
Is this cupcake for me?
Landon asks, and holds up the cupcake with the squiggly L written in icing. Yeah, I have to work on my piping skills. He takes a big bite.
The important part is it tastes good,
he says with a full mouth. I giggle and he wipes his mouth. I eat another cupcake and Landon talks about the game, which I don't really care about, but he's nice, so I pretend to listen. My mind travels to Harden again and I stare out the window.
Are you okay?
Landon pulls me out of my thoughts. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was paying attention, at first. I smile apologetically.
It's all right. Is it Harden?
Yeah. How'd you know? I ask.
Where is he?
The frat house. There's some party tonight. I start, and then decide to confide in him. And he didn't tell me about it. He had his friends meet him, and he just said, "See you around, Tessa." I feel like an idiot even repeating this. I know how stupid I sound, but it's driving me crazy. That girl Molly, he used to mess around with her all the time, and she's with him now, and he didn't tell them we are... whatever we are. I let out a heavy sigh.
Aren't you two supposed to be dating?
Landon asks. Yeah. Well, I thought so, but I don't know now.
Why don't you try to talk to him, or go to the party?
I just look at him. I can't just go to the party.
Why not? You've been to their parties before, and you and Harden are sort of dating, or whatever this is, and your roommate will be there. I would go if I was you.
Really? Steph did invite me. I don't know. I want to go just to see if Harden is with Molly, but I feel stupid just showing up there.
I think you should.
Will you come with me? I ask.
Oh, no, no. Sorry, Tessa. We are friends, but no.
I knew he wouldn't, but it was worth asking. I think I will go, at least to talk to him.
Good. Just wipe the flour off your face first.
He laughs, and I gently push his arm. I stay a little while longer to hang out with Landon. I don't want him to think I was just using him for a roundabout ride to the party, even though I know he doesn't think that.
Good luck. Call me if you need me,
he says as I get out of the car in front of the frat house. After he drives away, I think of the irony of my leaving my phone in my room to avoid worrying about Harden, and yet here I am showing up at his house. A group of scantily clad girls are standing in the yard, causing me to look down at my outfit. Jeans and a cardigan. I barely have any makeup on, and my hair is in a bun on top of my head. What the hell was I thinking coming here? I swallow my anxiety and walk inside. I don't see any familiar faces except Logan, who's doing a body shot off a girl wearing only a bra and panties. I walk through the kitchen and someone hands me a red cup full of alcohol, which I put to my lips. If I'm going to confront Harden, I need alcohol. I push my way through the crowded living room to the couch that their group usually hangs out on. Between bodies and over shoulders, Molly's pink hair comes into view. And I feel sick as I notice she isn't sitting on the couch, but on Harden's lap. His hand is on her thigh, and she leans back against him, laughing among her friends like this is the most normal thing in the world. How did I get myself in this situation with Harden? I should have stayed away from him. I knew it then, and I am slapped in the face with it now. I should just leave. I don't belong here, and I don't want to cry in front of these people again. I am sick of crying over Harden, and I am done trying to make him something he isn't. Every time I think I feel as low as I can, he does something else that makes me realize I previously had no idea of the real pain that unrequited feelings can cause. I watch as Molly puts her hand over Harden's. He moves his away, only to put it on her hip, giving her a playful squeeze, and she giggles. I try to force myself to move, to back up, to run, to crawl, to do anything to get me out of here, but my eyes are locked on the boy I was falling for, while his eyes are locked on her.
Tessa, someone calls.
Harden's head snaps up, and his green eyes meet mine. They are wide with shock, and Molly looks my way, then leans farther onto Harden. His lips part as if he is going to say something, but he doesn't. Zed appears at my side, and I finally force my eyes from Harden's. I try to muster a smile for him, but all of my energy is being used to prevent myself from bursting into tears.
Do you want a drink?
Zed asks, and I look down. I was holding a cup of beer, wasn't I? At my feet is a cup, the beer spilled across the carpet. I take a step away from it. I normally would clean it up and apologize, but right now I would rather just pretend it wasn't mine. It's so crowded in here, nobody will know. I have two options. I can run out of here in tears and let Hardin know he got the best of me, or I can put on a brave face and act like I don't care about him and the way he is still holding Molly on his lap. I decide to go with option two. "Yes, please, I'd love a drink," I say, my voice strained. Chapter 59. I follow Zed to the kitchen, mentally psyching myself up so I can get through this party. I wanted to go over and curse Hardin out, tell him to never speak to me again, slap him and rip Molly's pink hair out of her head. However, he would probably just smirk the whole time, so instead I decide to gulp down the entire cherry vodka sour that Zed makes me and ask for another. Hardin has ruined too many of my nights, and I refuse to be that girl. Zed makes me another sour, but when I hold my cup out again a couple minutes later, he laughs and holds up his hands.
"Whoa, slow down, killer. You already drank two."
"It just tastes really good," I laugh, and lick the remaining cherry flavor off my lips.
"Well, let's just take it slow on this one, yeah?"
When I agree, he mixes me up another one, and then says,
"I think we are about to play another round of Truth or Dare."
What is it with these guys and their annoying games of Truth or Dare? I thought people stopped playing those ridiculous games when they were in high school. The pain in my chest returns as my mind goes over all the things Hardin and Molly may have already been dared to do tonight. "What did I miss during the last round?" I ask him, with the best flirty smile I can manage. I probably look insane, but he smiles back, so it seems to work.
"Just some drunk people sucking face. The usual."
He shrugs. The lump in my throat rises, but I swallow it back down with my drink. I give a fake laugh and continue to drink out of my cup as we make our way back to the others. Zed takes a seat on the floor diagonally from Hardin and Molly's spot on the couch, and I sit down next to him, closer than I usually would, but that's the point. Part of me had assumed Hardin would have gotten Molly off his lap by now, but he hasn't, so I lean in a little closer yet to Zed. Hardin's eyes draw to slits, but I ignore him. Molly is still perched on his lap like the whore she is, and Steph gives me a sympathetic smile and glances toward Hardin. The vodka is beginning to take its effect as Nate's turn comes around.
"Truth or dare?"
Steph asks.
"Truth,"
he answers, and she rolls her eyes. "Pussy." Her colorful language never ceases to surprise me.
"Okay, is it true that you pissed in Tristan's closet last weekend?"
she asks, and they all start laughing except me. I have no clue what they are talking about.
"No, I already told you guys that wasn't me,"
he groans, making everyone laugh harder. Zed looks over and winks at me in the middle of the uproar. I hadn't really noticed before, but geez, he is hot. Really hot.
"Tessa, you playing?"
Steph asks, and I nod. I look up at Hardin, who is staring at me. I smile at him, then look back at Zed. The frown on Hardin's face takes a little pressure off my chest. He should feel as terrible as I do. "Okay, truth or dare?" Molly asks. Of course she would be the one to ask me. "Dare," I bravely say. God knows what she will have me do. "I dare you to kiss Zed." A few gasps and chuckles are heard.
"We already know how she feels about kissing people. Pick something else,"
Hardin says through his teeth. "Actually, it's fine. He wants to play? We can play."
"I don't think..."
Hardin starts to say.
"Shut up, Hardin,"
Steph says, and gives me an encouraging smile. I can't believe I agreed to kiss Zed, even if he's one of the most attractive people I have ever seen. I have only really kissed Noah and Hardin. I figure Johnny from elementary school doesn't count, especially since he tasted like glue.
"You sure?"
Zed asks. He's trying to act concerned, but I can see the excitement in his perfect features. "Yeah, I am sure." I take another drink, forcing myself not to look up at Hardin lest I change my mind. Everyone's eyes are on us as Zed licks his lips and leans in to kiss me. His lips are cold from his drink, and I can taste the sweetness of the cherry juice on his tongue. His lips are soft, yet hard against mine, and his tongue moves expertly with mine. I feel the heat rising in my stomach, not nearly as hot as with Hardin, but it feels so good that when Zed's hands move to my waist, we both move up to our knees.
Okay, damn. She said kiss, not fuck in front of everyone,
Harden says, and Molly tells him to shut up. I let my eyes go over to Harden, and he looks mad, beyond mad. But he brought this upon himself. I pull away from Zed and feel my cheeks flush as everyone stares at us. Steph gives me a thumbs up, but I look at the ground. Zed looks very pleased, and I feel embarrassed but thrilled with Harden's reaction.
Tessa, your turn to ask Tristan,
Zed says. Tristan chooses dare, so I give him the least creative dare and have him take a shot.
Zed, truth or dare?
Tristan asks as he chases his shot. I down the rest of my drink, and the more I drink, the more numb my emotions become.
Dare,
Zed answers, and Steph whispers something in Tristan's ear that makes him grin.
I dare you to take Tessa upstairs for 10 minutes,
Tristan says, and I choke on my breath. This is too much. That's a good one, Molly says, and laughs at my expense. Zed looks at me as if asking me if I'm okay with it. Without thinking, I stand up and grab Zed's hand. He looks as surprised as everyone else, but he stands up too.
This isn't part of truth or dare. This is, well, it's fucking dumb,
Harden says. Why does it matter? They are both single, and it's all in good fun, so why do you care? Molly asks him.
I don't care. I just think it's stupid,
Harden answers, and my chest hurts again. He obviously had no plan to tell any of his friends that we are, were, whatever we were. He has been using me this entire time. I'm just another girl to him, and I was foolish, beyond foolish, to think otherwise. Well, good thing it's none of your business, Harden, I snap, and pull Zed by the hand.
Burn!
Damn! I hear a few voices say, and Harden swears at them as Zed and I walk away. We find a random bedroom at the top of the stairs, and Zed pulls the door open and turns the light on. Now that I am away from Harden, I begin to feel much more nervous being alone with Zed. No matter how angry I am, I don't want to mess around with Zed. Well, I wouldn't say I don't want to, but I know I shouldn't. I'm not that type of girl. So what do you want to do? I squeak. He chuckles a little and leads me to the bed. Oh, Lord.
Let's just talk, yeah?
He says, and I nod and look down at the floor.
Not that I wouldn't love to do many other things with you, but you're intoxicated, and I don't want to take advantage of you.
I gasp.
Surprised?
He beams, and I laugh. A little, I admit.
Why? I'm not a jerk like Harden,
he says, and I look away again.
You know, I thought you and Harden had something going on for a little bit.
No, we're just... Well, we were friends, but not anymore. I don't want to admit how stupid I was for believing Harden's lies.
So are you still seeing your boyfriend from high school?
He asks. Relieved not to be talking about Harden, I relax and say, no, we broke up.
Oh, that's too bad. He was a lucky guy,
he says with a sweet smile. Zed is so charming. I find myself staring into his caramel eyes. His lashes are fuller than mine. Thanks.
Maybe I could take you out sometime, on a proper date? Like, not into a bedroom at a frat party,
he says, then chuckles nervously. I don't know what to say.
How about I ask again tomorrow when you're sober?
He is much nicer than I thought he would be. Usually guys as attractive as him are jerks, like Harden. Deal. He takes my hand again.
All right, then. Let's go back down.
When we walk back downstairs, Harden and Molly are still on the couch, but Harden now has a drink, and Molly has moved so her legs are draped over him from the side. When Harden's eyes dart down to where my hand is intertwined with Zed's, I jerk away without thinking, but then grab it again quickly. Harden clenches his jaw, and I look away into the crowd of partiers. How was it? Molly smirks. Fun, I answer, and Zed stays quiet. I will thank him later for not correcting me.
It's Molly's turn,
Nate announces as we sit back on the floor.
Truth or dare?
Harden asks her. Dare, of course. And Harden looks right into my eyes and says,
I dare you to kiss me.
My heart stops, literally. It stops beating. He is a bigger asshole than I ever imagined. My ears are swimming and my heart is pounding as Molly shoots a boastful glance my way before she latches herself to Hardin. All the anger I feel toward Hardin is washed away and replaced by hurt, all-consuming hurt, and the feel of hot tears on my face. I can't watch anymore. I just can't. Within seconds, I'm on my feet and pushing through the drunk crowd. I hear Zed and Steph both call after me, but the room feels like it's spinning, and when I close my eyes, all I can see is Molly and Hardin. Knocking into people and not looking back, I finally reach the door and the fresh air outside fills my lungs and brings me back to reality. How could he be so cruel? I run down the stairs on the sidewalk. I have to get away from here. I wish I had never met him. I wish I had had a different roommate. I even wish I had never come to WCU.
Tessa,
I hear, and I turn around, convinced I am imagining it until I see Hardin running after me. Chapter 60. I have never been very athletic, but my adrenaline is in full effect, and I push my legs to go faster. I reach the end of the street, but begin to tire. Where the hell am I going to go? I don't remember the path that I walked back to my dorm last time, and I stupidly left my phone in my room. To prove a point, about my independence from Hardin. Hardin, who's chasing me and yelling,
"Tessa, stop!"
And I do stop. I stop dead in my tracks. Why am I even running from him? He needs to explain why he keeps playing games with me.
What did Zed say to you?
What? When I turn around to face him, he is only a few feet away and has a shocked expression. He didn't actually expect I would stop. What, Hardin? What could you possibly want from me? I scream. My heart is pounding from running and from his breaking it.
I...
He seems to be at a loss for words for once.
Did Zed say something to you?
No, why would he? I take another step forward so I am face to face with him, my anger rolling off me in waves.
I'm sorry, okay?
He says quietly. He looks into my eyes and reaches his hand out to take mine, but I swat it away. He ignores my question about Zed, but I am too mad to care. You're sorry?
You're sorry?
I repeat, my voice coming out in a laugh.
Yeah, I am.
Go to hell, Hardin. I begin to walk away, but he grabs my arm again. My anger boils over and my hand flies up and smacks him, hard. I am as surprised by my own violence as he is, and I almost want to apologize for hitting him, but the pain he has caused me is so much more than a cuff on the cheek. His hand moves to his face, slowly rubbing over the red skin of his cheek. He looks at me, anger and confusion stirring behind his eyes.
What the hell is your problem? You were the one kissing Zed,
he yells. A car passes and the driver stares, but I ignore him. I don't care about causing a scene right now. You're not seriously trying to blame me. You lied to me and played me like a fool, Hardin. Just when I thought I could trust you, you humiliate me. If you wanted to be with Molly, why not just tell me to leave you alone? No, instead you feed me that bullshit about wanting more and beg me to stay the night with you just so you can use me. What was the point? What did you get out of it? Oh, besides a blowjob, I scream. The word tastes odd coming out of my mouth.
What? You think that's what I'm doing? You think I'm using you?
He shouts. No, that's not what I think, Hardin. That's what I know. But guess what? I'm done. I am so beyond done. I will change dorms if I have to, so I don't have to see you again, I say, and mean it. I don't need any of these people making my life worse.
You're overreacting,
he says flatly, and it takes everything in me not to slap him again. I'm overreacting? You didn't tell your friends about us. You didn't tell me about this party, and then you left me standing in the parking lot like a dumbass while you left with Molly, of all people. Then I show up here to find Molly on your lap, and then you kiss her, right in front of me, Hardin. I'd say my reaction is quite justified, I say, my voice drawing to a whisper at the end, exhausted. I wipe fresh tears from my face and blink up at the night sky.
You kissed Zed right in front of me, and I didn't tell you about the party because I don't have to. You wouldn't have wanted to come anyway. You would have been too busy studying or watching the damn paint dry.
He barks. I look at his blurry form through my watery eyes and ask him simply, "So why even waste your time with me? Why even follow me out here, Harden?" When he doesn't say anything, I have my answer. "That's what I thought. You thought you could come out here and say sorry, and I would accept and stay a secret. Your boring little hidden girlfriend. You're wrong. You took my kindness for weakness, and you were sadly mistaken."
"Girlfriend? You thought you were my girlfriend?"
he howls. The pain in my chest is magnified by 1,000, and I can barely stand. "No, I start to say. I don't know what to say."
"You did, didn't you?"
he says, laughing. "You know, I did," I admit. I am already humiliated, so I have nothing to lose. "You fed me that bullshit about wanting more, and I believed you. I believed all that shit you said to me. All the things you claimed to never tell anyone, but I'm sure that was all bullshit, too." "I'm sure none of that even happened." I shrug, giving up completely. "But you know what? I'm not even mad at you. I'm mad at myself for believing it. I knew how you were before I started to fall for you. I knew you would hurt me. What were your words? You'll destroy me? No, ruin. You'll ruin me."
"Well, congratulations, Harden. You won," I sob.
Pain flashes in his eyes. Well, what looks like pain, it is probably humor. I no longer care about winning or losing or playing these exhausting games. I turn away from him again and begin to walk back toward the house, figuring I'll find someone's phone to use to call Landon or somehow get a ride back to the dorms.
"Where are you going?"
he asks. It hurts that he doesn't have anything to say, and that he has offered me no explanation. He has only confirmed what I already knew, that he is heartless. I walk faster, ignoring him. He trails behind me, calling my